report for us.
I do. A couple things. So in your packet this morning are two memos from Case and Grady to you that include tables of our latest cannabis program and enrollment numbers, and I wanted to just underscore that and give you the opportunity to ask me any questions. But so the first is the numbers for enrollment by county. It's broken down by county, by the different tiers, and then those enrollments that came in directly through our, through the water board and those through the our third-party programs. So we have officially enrolled just over 1,600 permittees with about 2,200, or an additional 570 that are in process. So that brings us to over 2,000 total enrollees. So we're, you know, we're slowly ticking up. As you heard from our presentation in at the March board meeting, all the county ordinances that are permitting, issuing licenses require as a condition of enrollment condition of getting a license from the county, they have to be enrolled in our program. So we're seeing upticks as those new county ordinances come online, because then folks are issuing, need to show proof that they're enrolled in our program. One of the ways, as you know, that we're trying to increase our enrollment numbers is through our enrollment enforcement effort. And so the second memo and table are the statistics from those enrollment enforcement letters. We've done in three different watersheds over the last 12 months. In total, we've sent out 1,154 letters and received 841 applications. So that's a 73% response rate, which we think is pretty quite effective. You'll see in the Mad River that we sent out 166 letters and we received 183 applications. So the lesson learned there is that word spreads, that the regional board means it. And so neighbors are talking to neighbors, and it's bringing more folks in the door. Rattlesnake Creek, just for your, to be clear, is in the Trinity River, so that's the watershed, so that's the Trinity Pines area. Steve Moore mentioned that the State Board is in the process of developing a statewide general order, and I think you've heard that before. And that statewide general order will, once it's adopted by the State Board, will supersede our order. So we have been, our staff have been working quite closely with State Board staff, along with the staff from Region 5, to try to ensure that the statewide general order maintains many of the components of our order that we care most about and that we've found to be effective. So I just want to assure you that have had close coordination, providing input on internal review drafts. And Board Member Moore mentioned that general order and the companion document, that's called the Principles and Guidelines document, is going to go out for public review in June, and I believe they're then targeting to bring the permit to the State Board by October of this calendar year. So we'll continue to engage with State Board to represent our interests on that permit.
So Matt, do you have any idea of what that process might be like when there is a state permit that supersedes ours, and that these 2,200 people who have done their diligence to enroll in our permit, what the process might look like for them to roll over from one permit to another?
Well, we're in the process of working with State Board to come up with that transition plan. And so there's a handful of cases where we have a regional permit that's then superseded. And so we developed a transition plan, and it's a process to inform the regulated community that of this change, and apprise them of the differences and the similarities. So we'll have a letter that we'll put together and send out to those that have already enrolled in our program and notify them of the changes.
And is there an enrollment fee right now?
Yes.
So do you see any way to work to allow people to roll their enrollment fee over so they're not paying enrollment fees in 1 year? Okay.
Absolutely. That will. It's an annual fee, and so if they're enrolled in our program, that they won't have to pay twice. Absolutely.
Ma'am, one thing I didn't understand in that, are they going to recognize our permits, or are they going to have to immediately start over again?
Well,
that's sort of a huge issue. Otherwise, I wouldn't bother to apply for a permit with us.
The state board permit will go into effect immediately, is my understanding
of
it. And yet there still is an enrollment process for the statewide permit. So I don't know.
The last draft that I saw, I'm going to have to lean over here. The last draft that I saw of the state board permit set the enrollment deadline for permittees currently covered under Region 5 or Region 1's permits of July 1, 2018.
So they are getting time period.
There is a time period.
So there's an advantage to continuing to enroll with us.
I think the expectation would be that they would continue to enroll.
Okay.
It's
a big issue. The other thing, Matt, are we breaching our confidential sources if we release this, the enforcement data to third parties?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Are we free to distribute your tabulations to
third
parties?
Oh, yes. Nothing in here is confidential. Absolutely. Feel free to share.
So in the new state order that's replacing our program, are they going to address the difference between enrollment and compliance? I know that we're running into problems where people have enrolled in our program, but they're far from compliant, and they're trying to apply for county licenses.
Well, I think that the same situation is going to exist, that the statewide general order will establish standard conditions, and that's actually what the principles and guidelines document lays out. And evaluating or determining compliance with those standard conditions sometimes requires a site investigation. And so somebody can be enrolled in the program but still be subpar with regard to one condition. And so it's going to take it's true in any of our regulatory programs. There's then an ongoing process of our staff, the caseworkers, working with the permittee to ensure that they're meeting those standard conditions over time.
So, for example, Trinity County. So if someone comes in and says, here's my enrollment number, and planning goes great, and they go through the process, and they give them the license, only to find out they're not even close to being compliant to what the Water Quality Board permit is, because all we got was a number, and that's the only thing we have to give them. So we're having this problem where we're issuing permits to people who aren't in compliant and are doing damage. And then the other reverse to that is that numbers are being issued to people who they would not be able to grow under the county ordinance. So they're coming to the county like, I have my number, and like, too bad, you don't qualify.
So one of the conditions of enrollment in our permit is when they submit their notice of intent form, they actually have to certify that they are complying with the standard conditions.
Self-certify or a letter from the county?
This is a self-certification that they're complying. So the burden is on them to comply with the conditions. You're right, and it's a reality that out there in the real world, Somebody might submit that, certifying that they're in compliance, but when an inspector goes out, they determine that they don't have one BMP or another fully in. And so then it's on them to come into compliance. As far as the coordination with the county, you know, I mean, we're going to do our best to work with that local government entity. And we were just up in Mendocino County on Monday, and we have an agreement to start doing some joint inspections with their ag commissioner's office as they're issuing their licenses. And so that's a way that we'll both be kind of calibrating our eyes, so to speak, to the requirements under our order and the requirements under their licenses.
So at the last meeting, we had a presentation from some third-party people who actually were advocating for that. There's a difference between enrollment and compliance, and that we have that certificate from the growers saying, I am compliant with water quality. Are we going to pursue that at all? Is there any thought of that, even at the state level or the new order?
Well, it's a tricky issue.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the current plan, the current draft is self-certification, and that's the policy decision that the state board has made.
So just to elaborate, and we can't, it's not a public document yet, so we don't want to say too much, but I mean, what I can say is that the level of detail that we've described for our third-party programs, the state board general order is providing a lot less detail as far as what would constitute a third-party program that could essentially be effectively implementing the permit on the behalf of, in that case, the state board. So it's one of the issues that we're continuing to work with state board staff on.
So would this state order be like, the other marijuana laws? We have the state law, the county can be more restrictive, but not less restrictive. Are we going to have the option for this program that there's a state we can have our own that's more restrictive, but not less restrictive?
So the current direction is for this order to be statewide and to apply to every region, regardless of the pre-existing regional orders. But that's not to say that a region couldn't, well, this is just, I guess, my reading and my opinion. It's not to say a region couldn't adopt companion orders that were not specific to cannabis that might address other related impacts on cannabis sites.
So they're not going to let us take our ag to this order if we decide that our environmental is too sensitive and we need more protection?
So, I mean, there are provisions in the order that allow for board and EO discretion in terms of the follow-up plans and the detail that's required, and provisions for, and of course, the regional board always has the authority to issue 13267 orders for more information, cleanup and abatement orders if it's appropriate, cease and desist orders, and even pursue ACLs. So there's discretion given to, and the expectation that the regional board and the EOs will be implementing the permit in ways that I think are consistent and appropriate for the region.
John, did you have something you wanted to add?
Well, I thought were you asking whether the county has authority to issue stricter, or were you asking whether we do?
We do.
Oh, okay. Then I think the answer.
I was using the county as an example. But the county for cannabis cultivation can have more restrictions than the state.
Yes, so absolutely.
I was wondering if the same thing applied for this order.
So just a comment, I wanted to follow up. So I attended the board meeting with Matt and Stormer and Josh, and just for my board members, I mean, these guys did a great job, very informative. But the point that you're touching on, Kelly, is the supervisors jumped on that immediately. These numbers, even though they're getting better, everybody knows there's a long way to go, and the supervisors jumped on the ability of state inspectors. How many people do you need to actually go out and verify this? And I think it's proving more and more the importance that this office to be the certifier of certifiers and getting third-party certification programs in place to get more people out there, while, you know, perhaps you maintain the leverage that if somebody is not honest, if a third-party certifier is not honest, they lose their certification. I'm thinking of a similar structure in forest certification where you have this overlord type of organization, and then you have these certifiers underneath, but you know the agency would maintain the leadership, the lead agency. But I think, and it was a very robust discussion you had with the board. They get the magnitude of trying to balance what the state is doing, what the counties are trying to do, what the region is trying to do, and you know, every time we have a cannabis discussion, it goes on for a lot longer because they are so complex and there are so many layers to this onion. So, but I think it's just showing more and more that in order to achieve compliance, there's just going to need to be more, you know, boots on the ground to follow up on this. And so I think as this evolves, what I'd like to see, and I agree with you, Member Gant, that you know, maybe we want to have something a notch higher than what the state says because of our water resources. But then I also think as we evolve, we may be looking at a robust program to certify certifiers, and they become part of the extension of this office's compliance personnel.
So what was the driving force why they wouldn't let each of the regions just do their own programs like we have? What was this reason for having this umbrella order?
Well, it's a great point, and in Steve Moore's presentation to you this morning, he mentioned that at the chairs meeting, which is the annual meeting that happens with chairs from each of the regional boards and state board management and the executive officers, there was a discussion about statewide general orders and policies. And the push and pull that exists around, from on the one hand, an efficiency for the state to have a single order. It's an efficiency and a fairness is one way of looking at it, of a single order for a single type of activity. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, having the recognizing the regional differences and the need for region-specific permits, I think it's a given that the executive director of the state board, Tom Howard, who's retiring at the end of the month, but he has been an advocate for having statewide general orders, and he's really looked at it from a standpoint of efficiency. And there is a tension that exists around that, and so it'll be a topic at the WQCC meeting in October, and I think it's helpful, frankly, for regional board members to speak at those type of statewide meetings about the value of having regional specific permits. So we have the authority to have regional permits. The state board can't say, no, you must not have a regional permit. In this particular case, with the MRSA legislation that required dealing with it on a statewide level, there was a strong desire from the governor's office to have a statewide general order. We're gonna give it a chance and see how it works, and that's what I would encourage you guys to think about it. It's let's give this new permit a chance, and then we'll see whether there's things that are missing for us as a region in a couple of years from now.
So did I miss what do we think the target date is for this thing being released?
Released June 2nd is what we heard this
June
morning
2nd?
from Steve Moore.
But that's for comment, right?
That's for public review.
And so when would it actually?
And then it'll come to the board to the state board for their consideration in October. Is what we heard from Steve.
And it'll be law in.
Well, I think it goes. I think it becomes effective upon adoption.
Yeah.
And but it'll have, as Nate was saying in the draft that we've seen, it has an allowance for folks that are currently enrolled in a regional permit, which means for Region 1 and Region 5, and gives a little bit of a grace period to then transfer over.
So, what has the state done to give the counties a heads up?
Say it again?
What has the state done to give the counties a heads up that this change is coming?
You know, I have not, I don't know if Josh, you know what outreach the county, I mean, the state board has done to the counties. They've held workshops in different, throughout the state. I know that they held, and then we invited them, as you know, to our regional board meeting to hear about the principles and guidelines and the water rights permitting. So, John?
I just want to throw out, and we of course, inspection is the key to any program and ensuring compliance, but Humboldt County checks on compliance 2,500, on an average 2,500 a month. They do it by not having boots on the ground. It's aerial. And if they have questions, they require photographs that can be tied to the landmarks. And they don't put a boot on the ground. In fact, it's they're scared to even go out there, so they don't even try. But they do require adequate documentation. So I do want us to think through, if you're doing aerial to identify them, the same, oops, I'm sorry, the same aerial flight when you're checking up or redoing it can check on compliance. And the efficiency of that when you're dealing with 30,000 permits is tremendous. So I just want to keep giving that vision, because we have a very, well, we're going to go and inspect each one. Well, by the time you have security for staff on the roads, police, it's the same high-intensity labor approach that has failed for the last 50 years. So there's a lot you can do from the air, and a lot you can do by requiring photographs to prove it. And then, if you don't believe it or something, you can go inspect. But you've got to, people have a very efficient way of complying, and you have a very efficient way of looking at it. I keep going back that it's worked really well in Humboldt County.
But John, it's supposed to be illegal now. You shouldn't be afraid to drive up and knock on somebody's gate.
Well, that's fine, but you've got a sheriff to go with you, man. They're not going to be there.
But
you don't need a sheriff to fly a plane, and that's exactly why it's been working. They won't go. The feds won't go. And that's another whole topic, and if you want, that I will do in this meeting. But you can beg and for years to get.
So we have been putting some time into trying to get more contract resources for aerial. So at a next subsequent, a future EO report, we can provide a written update on the status of that effort. But just to assure you, John, we've heard you loud and clear,
okay. And
it's not that we're not doing it, it's that we've been doing, there's multiple components to the rollout of this program, and that's one of the components that we've been putting resources to, one of others. And then to get to the staffing resources, it's public information because it was in the governor's May revised letter, for 65 new positions statewide, for the cannabis program, for the water board family. A big chunk of those will go to the state board's Division of Water Rights to deal with the water right permitting. But we're hopeful that we're going to get at least a handful of new positions for the North Coast region. So we're just really pleased, because the more staff, the more effective that we're going to be able to be in this program.
Are they allowed to carry?
No. The regional board's that do not carry, and I'm glad that we do not carry them.
So how's the staffing
clipboards.
Going on that?
Say it again?
How's the staffing going on our open positions?
Well, slow but sure. Josh can give an update.
So, Josh Curtis of your staff. I came up because I just wanted to, I want to answer a little bit of your question about the outreach. I don't know too much of the outreach that the state board has done so far before public release, but I do know that they have a significant plan for outreach once public review is put out. So my guess is you'll see quite a bit here in the near future. And then the staffing. Yes, so the staffing, we currently have 9 positions. I checked the numbers again to make sure. We have 9 positions funded for that. We have 2 that just closed closed, and so we'll be doing interviews for those shortly. And then one other that, actually all three now have closed, because that one just closed as well. So we have the three empty positions. We have interviews pending. So we have closed applications, and we have to review and then go forward with interviews. But my hope is to get those positions filled before the new fiscal year. Hopefully, we will be looking at going right back in and hiring some more.
So that's three of the nine open positions?
And the rest are all filled. Yeah,
so the rest are all filled.
Yeah.
Oh.
So last, if we're ready, unless there's any other comments on cannabis, I was going to mention one other topic for my EO report. So that is with regard to the Shasta River, the Elk River TMDL. I just spoke with John Bishop this afternoon before he left, and the state board is intending to get the Elk River TMDL on their agenda for the June 20th. Board meeting. Our board meeting is June 29th, so I'll be looking forward to being able to report on the outcome.
That's best case scenario, so in the schedule of things right now, right?
Well, I think June 6th was what I would have been the best case scenario, and it's looking that's not going to happen. So I guess that is a good way to look at it. June 20th is the best case scenario. I had thought May was the best case scenario, but that, that came and went.
As of this very moment.
As of this moment.
Great. Thanks, Matt.
And that was it for my report.
Matt,
Okay.
Do any board members have requests for future agenda items or other items of interest to discuss?
So I'm going to backtrack just a tad, because at lunch we were talking about getting access to the enforcement reports, and I know that you always had them in your executive officer's report, maybe in the part of our website that says about enforcement, you could say for a current list, see the executive director's reports and then link them to our meetings.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to repost them, but just show people where they are, because it isn't obvious that they go to your report to find those.
Good suggestion.
You don't need to rework things.
Yeah.
I have a request that we, as soon as possible, get on the reformatted restoration efforts in Elk. And I'm very well aware that personality clashes and certain things aren't working, and I'm aware management is working very hard and exploring a lot of possibilities to put it back on track. But I think the sooner you have enough to report to us, I think the better, because that is the key element to our enforcement implementation. We need to make sure we stay on that.
So on the projected list of future board meetings or board agenda items, at the August meeting, we do intend to do an update on the Elk River TMDL, and that Elk Stewardship Program, which is the restoration component, is part of that. So
okay,
we will be providing an informational update in August.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else from the board? Board Member Christie.
I just, again, wanted to take the opportunity to thank Mr. Hales for his fellowship and friendship.
Yes.
And leadership on this board.
And I thank each and every person in this room.
Well, item 11 is closed session. We don't have one scheduled. So
can I have a comment on that?
Sure.
We certainly can't do anything, but there is interesting litigation regarding the railroad, which we had on whether state CEQA laws apply and whether that has not been preempted by federal law. And also, I think at some point we need to get a legal opinion whether our regulations, which come through the Clean Water Act, again, were preempted by the Federal Railroad Act or not, so that because they have played a bankruptcy card. They've played, we're federal and you're the state and they can't touch you. I think the fact that's being reopened, we need to take a look at that because they, well, they have a financing problem from that's very severe, but it is a problem. And I do think we need to, I know it was on our executive session list for years. Well, I think we need to figure out what the status is on that. And there's no hurry on that. You can take 6 months and that'll be considered fast on that issue.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, then we have covered all of the items on our agenda. And, oh. And
one last thing. I want to thank the chairman for doing an outstanding job of chairing the meeting.
Thank you. Thank you.